Hello, you're listening to Forward Talks by Goombook, a podcast about moving towards sustainability, and I'm Tatiana Antonelli. Our guest today is Sean Rowlands, founder of Retold. Sean is a Dubai kid who spent most of her childhood in the city before moving to the UK to study architecture and design. She returned to Dubai to continue her career and found herself in a difficult situation, but Sean was able to convert this into an opportunity for herself personally, but also it became the foundation for her business.
2011, I was kind of enjoying a very successful career in interior design, sort of designing for hotels, bars and restaurants. Had a bit of a shopping problem and realised I was broke one day, so I needed to rent out my spare room in my apartment. And it really started from there. I cleaned out the wardrobes, and that's when I had the kind of realisation of just how much like fashion waste I had in my wardrobe, if you like. I ended up with 4 packing boxes full of clothes that I no longer wore. When I went back through them, about 3/4 still had their original tags. So there was 3/4 of those 4 boxes that I just had never worn. And I knew I'm not the only person in Dubai with that same problem. So I kind of sat down with my sisters and you know, I'm one of 4 girls. So we've always grown up like wearing each other's clothes and swapping and sharing. And the same with friends. You know, we've always kind of, you know, delved into each other's wardrobes and sort of decided to host a little party really amongst like our network. And it just grew from there pretty rapidly. So that was 2011. And so for the first kind of 5 years, I was running it alongside my career. And then 2017, I made the shift as, you know, as I kind of discovered more about the dark side of the fashion industry and really put my passion into it and go full time and hence the sort of development of the business in the last 2 years.
And I would love to know what has been the reaction of the Dubai population.
Absolutely amazing. You know, there are so many people who are discovering us every single day, every single week. And a lot of people's first reaction is, oh, wow, I had no idea this was secondhand. You know, we have created very much a boutique space, so people feel like they're coming in and they're getting that sort of new shop experience, but everything is pre-owned. But everything is in perfect condition. So about 1/4 of the products that we get in are still brand new with their original tags. So people are coming down and you know, selling clothes that they've decided not to wear for whatever reason. And so our shoppers can come down and get something that's still new, but they don't have that same impact on the environment as if they were going to the malls.
Where does this problem come from? Why are we buying so much?
Yeah, I could talk for hours about this, but I think, you know, I think modern day society, sort of we're a victim of our own success, if you like. So kind of since the Industrial Revolution, we've all been encouraged that your status symbol is about how much new stuff you have, like how big your home is and how many cars you have and, you know, how many new items of clothing you have and if you have the new it bag. And then with the introduction of social media, as modern day society, we're kind of trained that we're not allowed to be seen wearing the same outfit more than once. You know, and certainly if you've been photographed and it's gone up on your Instagram profile, heaven forbid, you know, you wear that dress again or you wear those shoes again. It's kind of been the product of the last sort of 10, 15 years of social media becoming so prevalent in all of our lives. And fast fashion has kept up pace with that. You know, gone are the days where we have two clothing seasons, which is spring, summer, or autumn, winter. We now have 52 seasons a year. So high street brands, they drop new products, new styles, new designs every single week. And those designs aren't repeated, they're one-offs. And so the fast fashion industry is has built this sort of sense of urgency, like you've got to get it, you've got to buy now, you've got to stay in trend, you know, sort of fashionistas and major design houses. It's like, you've got to be on the new trend. What, you know, what's this season's trend? What are we all wearing next month, you know? And we just all become victims of that. We must have this and we must stay on whatever the current trend is.
And somehow this fast fashion has also required the fashion industry to produce more at less.
Absolutely. So there's something like 150 billion items of clothing are made every single year. And there's about 150 billion items of clothing that are sent to landfill every single year. So at the moment, like, our fashion industry is making as many products as we are casually throwing away. Most of those pieces are worn, on average, only five times. Something like it takes 2,700 to 3,000 litres of water to make a single cotton T-shirt, which is as much as a person who's lucky enough to have access to, you know, clean running water, as much as they will drink in 3 years. So, you know, like, we're not wearing those T-shirts for 3 years. It takes 10,000 litres of water to make a pair of jeans. You know, and denim is such a durable material. It does last for years and years and years. But society, we've just become so throwaway. You know, and the prices of fast fashion pieces aren't allowing consumers to have that emotional connection with them because there's no financial connection.
We don't value them. What we have.
Exactly. So the whole sort of fashion industry has devalued quality, so that so at the moment it's consumers believe it's quantity over quality, and that's the wrong mindset.
So it's very interesting because you're talking about what's behind fashion. So one interesting point is the water footprint, as you were saying.
Yeah.
Another one also is labor.
So one of the really interesting things that I discovered, probably interesting initiatives, I should say, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe, was Fashion Revolution Week. And I know Aisha, the lady who runs Fashion Revolution Week here. So Retold is very much a part of that now. And we support them for the Global Fashion Exchange, the Clothes Swap. But they're really shining a light on the equality and the pay that goes towards the workers who are making our clothes. You know, and all of those kind of factories in places like Bangladesh, in China, in India, where the labor is so cheap because the products themselves are being sold for next to nothing in the Western world.
If I wanted to ask you which brands I should avoid, is it possible to say that, or if you don't want to go that route?
Well, as someone who doesn't buy new, I would say avoid all new brands and come and shop at Retold, but that's just me being biased. Fashion Revolution has a transparency report that you can actually go and check out the top. I think they've got about 200 of high street and high access brands. And you can actually go and support, you can go and find out their transparency rating. So you can go and find out actually what their impact is per piece and find out if they're actually a sustainable brand. So that's a really interesting.
So this is an open resource?
It's an
website?
Open resource, absolutely.
And everyone, yeah.
Can go and have a look at their transparency report, yeah.
So as a consumer, if I had to give more value to the item I'm going to buy, would you recommend me to actually buy from luxury brands, maybe because the quality is better? I'm going to use that garment for a longer time and it's going to last, and I'm going to be able to give it to my children, maybe, like our mothers used to do. I mean, I still wear things that are coming from my grandmother's closet,
yeah,
and my mother's closet, and they are amazing quality. While when I buy a T-shirt, after 3-4 times I wash it, it's lost the quality.
It's lost the shape. It's, yeah. Look, I think there's still a huge amount of greenwashing that goes on in both the fast fashion industry and the luxury industry. I think we need to be putting value on brands that are taking a stand and saying, we care about the planet, we care about what we're doing, we care about the impact that we're making, we care about the initiative behind it. There are a lot of brands that, small brands, they're a lot more accessible and a lot more affordable than designer and luxury labels that are actually engaging in sort of local artisan manufacturing. So it's actually taking it back to empowering women in small villages, for example, in Africa, and providing them with the training to be making these beautiful handcrafted bags that then get resold. That it creates these economies. And I think that's where we need to be adding value. Or take it, you know, appointing value, not, you know, oh, what major luxury label has been able to afford an amazing marketing company and made a name for themselves.
That's very interesting, because now you resell different,
yeah,
products.
Absolutely.
And so I've come to your shop and I bought different things, and I saw that I could buy something from H&M or Zara, but then I could also buy from
designers.
So you handling these goods, Do you see a difference in the quality? Because I can see from what you're talking about that there's a lot of marketing and greenwashing. So now my question is, so are these luxury items not of a better quality?
I think on the as a sweeping generalization, yes, there is a noticeable difference in quality between something that is very much high street and something that is very much luxury. The middle ground, I think there's a sliding scale. I think a lot depends on the fabric, depends on ultimately where it's made, and ultimately which brands have made it. There are brands out there who are still charging a lot of money for quality of product that is not actually any different from the cheap high street stuff. We do notice when lovely, you know, like a gorgeous silk dress comes in, and you know, like you notice the difference with those as opposed to a polyester dress. Of course, yeah, of course you do. But I think unfortunately we are, like I said, the fashion industry is broken, and there's been so much greenwashing going on that some of these luxury brands that kind of say, oh, you know, our quality of product is better, it's not necessarily always the case.
So I'm interested in your middle ground, yeah. Because apparently you're talking about maybe social enterprises or fashion companies that decide to empower society or people from different groups of our society. Maybe they choose specific materials. They don't want leather. Maybe they're going to choose these new alternatives made out of, I don't know, pineapple.
Yep. No, that was interesting. I went to the fashion exhibition at the V&A Museum two summers ago, and that was really interesting because that was called The Nature of Fashion, and that was about how the fashion industry has used nature throughout the entire history, and it was really fascinating. And then probably the most interesting part is some of those new materials that are coming out. There's mushroom roots that is woven and can be applied to make, okay, it's a stiff material, so be great for accessories. You know, pineapple husk, it's, you know, processed to become a usable product. I think that's really, really fascinating with what we're doing now.
So all the clothing that you've been collecting, how does that work? As a consumer, and I open my cupboard and yeah. I see all these clothes I can't wear anymore. How do I get in touch with you, and how can I sell my items with you?
So we do want to onboard all of our kind of new members, if you like. We call them members. So simply drop us a little email, info@shopretold.com, and we'll talk you through the whole process. But essentially what we do is we're a consignment service. So we provide the service of selling your pieces on your behalf. We don't buy up front. We sell it on your behalf. And then you get your profit minus a small commission to us once the items have sold. We go through everything, make sure nothing is damaged, make sure nothing's stained, you know, make sure everything that you say is there. So we kind of do that sort of inventory collection from you. We work really hard behind the scenes to then sell it on your behalf. And then you get your profits at the end of your sort of membership term with us, if you like.
So there is a term. I will leave my clothes with you for how long?
A couple of months, 2-3 months, depending on which membership package you take. That sort of information is all on our website, and it's all in the information pack that we share with anyone who's interested. We've found that sort of the 3 months is the longest that we really want to keep pieces for on the shop floor, mostly because we have a lot of returning customers, and the shoppers want to come down and they do want to see a different selection each time. You know, at the moment, I only have one boutique, albeit it's 3,000 square foot and I have 8,000 pieces on display. But people want to see new stuff each time they come down. So there's different ways, different lengths of time, if you like, that we keep stuff for.
Do you also have like wedding gowns?
You know, look, we've got a very small selection of wedding gowns in, but I could open a whole new 3,000 square foot boutique with wedding dresses with the people looking to buy and sell. We actually have a really interesting partnership with an online marketplace, which is called The Bridal Souk. And that's a place where you can list your own wedding dress. But what you can do is if you're not interested in directly meeting with the buyer or someone who's interested in it, you can actually book it in to Retold, and you can come and use the boutique as a try-on space. It takes a little bit of that, the sort of the personalization out of it, rather than going to someone's house, trying on their beautiful dress, deciding that maybe you hate it, and then you don't have the guts to tell them, or you don't want to haggle over the price, or, you know, it takes that sort of, you know, face-to-face interaction out of it. So we handle that whole process for you.
And you were saying before offline that you are also going to launch new specific...
Yeah, so we have... ladies wear and kids clothes at the moment, and we have then a huge section of vintage stuff as well, so sort of 1980s and beforehand, and we will be launching in the near future men's section and also maternity wear as well.
Maternity wear is a totally different ball game. I mean, we buy these items, we wear them a couple of months, yeah, and that's more than fast fashion.
It's more than fast fashion. It's sort of very much temporary disposable fashion. You're not going to be wearing it that long after you're pregnant, so you don't need that fashion. Maybe you don't plan to have kids for another 2-3 years. It's going to stay in your wardrobe. You pay to store it, essentially. And maternity wear new here is so expensive. You know, we pay a premium on all of those brands. So buy it pre-owned. Someone else has had the pleasure of paying the upfront money first, so then come and get it at a fraction of the price, and then you end up saving the planet as well. I mean, you know, you save your wallet, save the planet.
So what do you think about the work being done, for example, from international organizations such as EcoAge in the UK?
I think everyone having this conversation is doing a remarkable job, and I think the more people talking about it, the better. EcoAge, it's obviously run by Livia Firth, who's Colin Firth's wife. You know, she for a long, long time, she's had an option to make a conscious choice whilst walking the red carpet. And so she set up Red Carpet Green Dress. Green Carpet Red Dress. Red Carpet Green Dress. That one. Red Carpet Green Dress. Which is about, sort of celebrities, if you like, and people who walk the red carpet to have that opportunity to make a green choice. You know, a lot of sort of everyday society, they do follow what celebrities do. So if they have to leverage celebrities on the red carpet, you know, looking, you know, fabulously amazing and what people aspire to, then people are learning to aspire to a greater value than, you know, just how much the dress costs, but maybe the fact that it's been worn 30 times. So the, you know, Livia Firth's initiative is 30 wears. And that's fantastic. Let's get those red carpet dresses on the red carpet 30 times. That would be amazing.
I was really impressed a few months ago when I saw a video of a huge pile of bags and different clothes from Burberry's being burnt in open air, just because they didn't want these items to be resold. What do you think about this?
When people ask me the question of which is worse, the fast fashion industry or the luxury fashion industry, look, they both have their own inherent problems. The fast fashion industry focuses on making things appallingly, under appalling circumstances, as cheaply as possible and selling as much as possible. And a lot of that goes to waste. The designer and luxury industry, they tackle things slightly differently. A lot of what they do in order to retain the value of their brand is to maintain exclusivity. So when Burberry came out, and I think it was that particular one was $35 million worth of unsold items. So rather than them going to off-selling or secondhand or, you know, taking the labels off and rebranding them as something else and still being able to kind of maintain some form of value in them, they burnt them, which is just horrendous. But it's in order to maintain their value as a brand.
Where's the mistake here in doing the wrong estimation on how much they're going to sell? Or just producing that amount because the cost is going to be the same?
Probably economies of scale, because it costs less to produce more, and overestimating the demand for their brand. I mean, I think it's probably broken in several different areas. I don't think there's one person to blame or one decision to blame on that front. They do it every year. And it's not just, it's so unethical, and it's not just Burberry. This is the whole point. The whole industry is broken. There is no connection, there's no closed loop in the supply chain. They produce too much cotton goes to the factories, too much cotton ends up on the cutting room floors, all of that goes to waste, all of that goes to landfill, and that's before the products are even made. And then products are made and there's too much of it, and then it goes to retailers and no one wants it, and then it goes where? It goes back into landfill. There is too much supply for the demand. 150 billion of items are made every single year, and 150 billion go to landfill. That is enough to clothe everyone on the planet with 6 new items of clothing.
Is there any international body, any regulation, any standards? I mean, burning all that leather and all that cotton has emissions, and you're burning prime materials and resources that have cost so much into producing them. Where is the policy? Where are the standards?
Where are they held accountable? They're not. It's now getting to the point where they're held accountable by consumers, because someone found out about it and someone shined a light on it, and we've all gone, this is horrific. We need to stop doing this. They will probably think twice about doing it again to that extent. They will probably try and hide it a little bit more the next time they do it. Maybe they'll produce slightly less next year. All of those small steps, great. Is it enough? No, of course it's not. There needs to be more accountability in the fashion industry. There needs to be better policies. There needs to be better regulations. Government needs to step up and take control of the situation.
So in 2015, it was 1.2 billion tons of carbon emissions produced by global fashion industry. So we always talk about transportation, energy sectors, but this sector is completely not looked.
But that even encompasses the agriculture. If you think about the amount of land that is dedicated to growing cotton, so that's taken away from the food industry, it's taken away from, you know, rainforests, which provide us with air to breathe. I mean, what are we doing? Why are we producing all of these clothes to look good when we're killing our planet? Doesn't make sense.
There are very good statistics, I think, which are important for people to know visually. One of them is one garbage truck of clothes are burned or go to landfill every second worldwide. There's enough clothes to fill 1.5 Empire State Buildings every day. If you could do one thing to, you know, and have Harry Potter magic wand, what would you do?
That's a really hard question, because limiting it to just one thing, I don't think there's one thing that is going to change.
Or one that would trickle everything else.
You know, if I were to turn around and say tomorrow, every single fashion factory has to close down and we're not allowed to make anything tomorrow, you know, that would have some positive effects in the sense of all of those clothes that would have been made are no longer made, but it would have some really negative effects. The economy, those workers who no longer have jobs, who can no longer support their families, it has a huge knock-on effect. So I'm not sure that any one thing is going to change the world. We need to all come together and do it collaboratively. You know, that is how change happens, is collaborations.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Forward Talks. You can check out Retold's entire collection at shopretold.com. There is also a link in our show notes. If you're enjoying our episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave a review or reach out to us on LinkedIn and on Instagram. You can find more information on our website, goombook.com, where you can also listen to all our previous episodes.